Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, November the 8th of 2022. And I am your host, the Miracle Man, tonight, coming to you live from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live, on this election day here in the United States. For those of you who listen from these other countries, it doesn't apply. But for those of us who live in this country, I hope that those of us who are over the age of 18 and our citizens, that we went and voted. And I went out there today and made my voice heard. Through the ballot, of course. I did not go into the polling booths shouting or anything like that, but I went out there and I voted. And actually, I had a couple first-time voters with me today. They were younger, and they had never voted before. And so it was cool that I voted first, and then it kind of let them see, you know, how, you know, you get out and vote. Because, of course, it's very important that we because, you know, those people who we vote for, they work for us. And I pray that you voted, that you made the right choices on your ballot. And so I know I went, and I feel good about what I did. And if you voted, you know. So you say, for those of you who already voted, you may say, what do I do now? Pray. All attempts to try to steal the election would be stopped right here, right now, and thwarted. And to pray that whatever the enemy has planned, it will not prosper. It will not work out the way they want it to. There have been plans. And now I don't know everything about these plans, but if you haven't voted, then to you, here's what I will say. Get out there and vote. And if you live in a state like out west of here, like a place like Colorado or Nevada or Alaska, Hawaii, places like that that are out west of here, you will be able to go and vote until either 7 or 8 local time, depending on your state. By local, I mean local to you. So when we get done tonight, you know, 7:45, 7:50, 8 o'clock here in Michigan, which would be like 6 o'clock Colorado time, 5 o'clock in Nevada, then you'll still have a little bit of time to get out there and cast your vote. And in my state, as per state law, if you are in line by 8 p.m., here in my state, it's 8 p.m. when the polls close. If you're in line by 8 p.m., then you will still be able to cast your ballot. That's the way it works. I don't know that's that way everywhere, but it is that way here. And I'll say this. If maybe you're in line to vote, maybe you turned on the broadcast, maybe headphones, you know, listening to the program. If you're able to listen to this program while voting, then I just say, wow. Did you see anybody with their headphones in while they were voting, Cassandra, or no? Do you think you'd be able to do that, or no? Oh! Whoops, sorry, listeners. So I doubt you'd be able to do that while voting. You know, tuning into this program while voting. And, Because who knows? For all we know, it could mess up with your vote. Maybe you could push the wrong voting when you're Now, there's something in all this that I want to say before I get to other things. And that is, in the Bible, it tells us to pray for those who have authority over us. Pray for those who have authority over you. That means our police and, you know, others. You know, that means our president, our governors in our states. You know, in other countries where you do the whole thing with prime minister, that could be your prime minister. And so the Bible says, pray for those who have authority over you. And I'm trying to see here. It doesn't say only if you voted for them. It says, pray for those who have authority over you. That's even if you did not vote for them. So that's important. Regardless of what the results are tonight or tomorrow or whenever we find out, depending on your state and how quick they get the ballots counted, still have to pray for those who have authority over you, regardless of whether you agree with them or not. Pray for them. That's our duty as Christians. So that's what I'll say about I'm going to do a little something right here that I normally wouldn't do for a few minutes longer. Kind of to, you know, get your mind off the election and what have you before we get into other things. Gonna sing a Christmas song. Oh, but Miracle Man, it's 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. Yeah, I know it, but when it's election time, it's not always easy for people. And you got all these different, you know, things, and it can be you know, hearing the news and what have you. And so I figured, why not sing a Christmas song? So I got one that could maybe get you to laugh. Oh, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. I don't want a doll, no inky dink or toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Mom, my mother says a hippo will eat me up within. Teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. There's lots of room for him in our two-car garage. I wash him there and feed him there and give him his massage. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open a surprise. The hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He doesn't have to use the door. He can just go, that's the easy thing to do. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. So we have the song, Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Some of you might not know this. Some of you folk who maybe were born in the 1980s or 1990s or maybe even 2000 or something. Or that song came out in the 60s. Cassandra, when would you have thought it was from, like, early 90s or something? You would have thought? I would have thought 80s. But nope, it was from the 60s, folks. So, it's one that I strongly considering doing for the Christmas music program at my church in December. The other one that's in the running for that is I'll Be Home for Christmas. But and I'm going to finalize it in the next, like, 2 days and get to work on it. Have it submitted by late next week. And I think I'm excited about it because Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year, and I love sharing the joy of Christmas through song. And what I just did for you there is a bit of what you can look forward to once we pass Thanksgiving. Once we get past Thanksgiving, all the way through to the final show, which would be on the 21st, there'll be Christmas Girls on the program. In the last 2 weeks, there'll be teachings on Christmas. And by Christmas, I mean like the birth of Jesus. And what it's about. And someone said something. No, I said that wrong. I saw something on Facebook the other day from someone who has ministered in our church before around the holidays, around Christmas. And he said, well, if you get a whole birth month, shouldn't Jesus get two? And I thought about that, and I said, well, what about a month and a half at least? So I think, in the next week, I'm going to start to put my Christmas stuff out. And that's going to be great. I wonder if anyone knows of Christmas trees that have big speakers in them that play Christmas music. Do you know of such a thing, Cassandra? A Christmas tree that actually plays music.
Yeah, there's the little ones that do.
Do they have, like, big speakers in them?
They probably don't have any super big ones.
That'd be cool if they did, because then it could be like a stereo through your house. I think that would be neat. And then to be able to, like, hook up your radio to it and what have you. I think that would be kind of cool. And then for it to have dancing lights on it. And maybe it has different things for different songs. Maybe for Away in the Manger, it might have this. For A Holy Night, it might have this thing. Maybe for Rudolph, it might have, you know, something that looks like a red nose, maybe for different songs that play. What if there was a way to make it start snowing? What if there was a way to make it start snowing a little bit, like for Frosty the Snowman, or for a lot of snow, maybe? And then little, like, snow starts coming down from the rafters of the tree, you know? That could be cool. hashtag dream Christmas display. It would be like that. I would love to see like a shopping mall or someone or a place like that do that. And you talk about shopping mall, here's what I think would be a great way to get people back into some of these malls, some of these people who shop like exclusively on Amazon now. And I thought, what if malls that maybe don't do their lights anymore as much as they used to, maybe they don't decorate the way they used to, what if some of them brought back their more dazzling displays that they used to have? Those that had done it. Like Cassandra, what did your dad used to tell you about Bay City Mall decorating for Christmas. Were they ever real big on that or not so much?
Yeah.
What happened to those old decorations? Where did they go?
Storage. We just haven't really touched them. At least it's old money,
I hope not. I'm going to tell a moment. If I see Cindy again, if I see Cindy again at all, between now and like when they would start to put them out, I'm going to tell her to have security or whoever. Every decoration that's on property that you guys own, we're going to out. Whatever you have, use it. Don't just leave it in storage somewhere. Bring it out. Because and that way it makes it cool, you know, when you see these places all decked out for Christmas. And that it's a... Because you said at the mall they already moved the benches. Well, why did they do that? Why did they do that, do you feel like? Or if they did it because they're going to do, like, some construction thing? By construction, I mean, like, things with cans of food. It's something they've been doing, like they did last year. That's why I said construction. Not construction, construction. Because you were going to say if it was construction, you doubt they'd be starting it around the holidays in the mall. Because generally around the holidays, you would think they'd want it to be as open as possible. Because, so, the first mall that I saw decorated, the only mall I had been to at this point, was the mall, Great Lakes Crossing, the one by my parents' house. And the malls there is in Auburn Hills. And they had their stuff up down by the theater. And so... That was a nice touch, and they'll be starting Santa in just a few days, which obviously means they will be turning on their Christmas music. And I noticed Mr. Grinch, I mean Phil, didn't complain earlier when we had the Christmas music on. Phil, are you still here?
Yeah.
Did you really? Were you thinking about making her turn that stuff off or no? Oh, good. So well behaved. Yes. Because this is around that time. You know, 2 weeks to Thanksgiving, that I kind of start to grill people a little bit that I think might be grinching or thinking about grinching. Because now is the time where you start to see some people putting up their Christmas stuff. And different people have different timings as to when they like to put them up. And with the nice weather that we had rather recently, I can see where people would be putting them up. Are you already seeing a little bit more for being November the 8th compared to what it normally is? Is that what you've noticed, Cassandra? You feel like there's a little bit more for November 8th than what there would usually be? Like a tad more, or do you feel like it's kind of a lot more? Do you feel like part of that has to do with because it was warmer? So even though they're not turning them on necessarily so much yet, like they put them up. Because I tell you, if I was putting them up outside, I'd rather do it when it's nice out. as opposed to like going outside to my shed when it's like 25 degrees, 35 degrees to get the stuff, bring it in. You got to get it to feel warm, you know, because it's supposed to feel warm for Christmas. For the and, you know, and for these people who say, we wait until after the turkey is all dead and gone to put up the Christmas stuff. Well, if you're hosting Thanksgiving dinner, a lot of people think it makes the house look nice if you're hosting Thanksgiving dinner and the tree's already up. Is this true, Cassandra? Every place, every Thanksgiving party, or most of them that you've been to on Thanksgiving, the family gatherings, much more often than not, the tree's already been up on Thanksgiving Day. Have you ever been to one where it wasn't up, or has it pretty much always been up on Thanksgiving? I think there's a point to it, part of it. Because it makes it look nice, and it kind of is a reminder to people, you know, Christmas is in a month. And, of course, many of us, on, like, the day after Thanksgiving, we'll start shopping, maybe looking for ideas for what to get. I mean, what to give, as well as what to get. And so that's just a little bit of what you can look forward to. For around the holidays is we will be doing Christmas again here on the Miracle Man program, as I have been doing it every year on this program ever since we lost this. And I don't know about you, but I'm not getting tired of it when the holidays come. I enjoy doing it. So let me just check the clock real quick. So I want to remind you of two quick things, two very quick things, and then I want to sing the songs that I was going to sing. And then open up to the word of the Lord tonight and see what God has for us. First thing I want to remind you about real quick, and that is about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, how great God has been, talks about the great things God has done, and it's just a great read. I pray that when you read the book, it'll increase your faith, and it'll let you know that God is there for you. God is on your side. Wouldn't you rather hear God's on your side than to hear this thing of nothing's working, it's not going to work right, it's not... I tell you, I would much rather hear God's on my side, God's on my side, God's on my side, than hear all this other negative stuff. Amen. So that's where I stand. And I believe in the word. I believe in the promises being yes and amen. Not maybe and I guess. And so Todd just hold on to his promises, trust in his word. So you can go online to the website Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book, how it can be a blessing into your life. The other thing I would like to remind you about really quick is about the book, is about the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. I've enjoyed bringing you this program for 5 years. I pray that you've enjoyed it. And if it's been a blessing to you, like I hope it has been, then I would ask that you would consider sowing a seed. Whenever you sow a seed, it helps keep us going and growing and reaching more people. And when you sow into this program, you're sowing into good ground. You're not sowing into ground that's not fertile. You're not sowing on the thorns. You're sowing into a great program. So when I get notification that you've sown into the program, I always thank God, and I always pray for you and call you blessed. Amen. That's what I do. And there's a verse that I would like to sow into your life tonight about the giving. So therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to the rate of inflation. I'm sorry. According to my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. According to his riches in glory. And that's what we stand on. Standing on the Word of God, the uncompromised Word of God. It's been dissected, attacked, but you know what? It always comes back to be found true. Amen. Now, I'm going to take a quick station ID. And then we're going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. Well, we're back. We are back. And now I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord tonight. Mm-hmm. To carry your victory, as much I could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. You take the broken thing and turn it to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. It took me so long to believe it. Let all the strifing cease. Well, this is my victory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the power of your name. I am seated heavenly place, undefeated by the one who has conquered it all. Oh, you have conquered it all. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open with my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the power of your name. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the one who has conquered it all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm calling on the God of Jacob. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, who came and opened up the oceans. I'm asking you to do the same thing for me. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, God, my God, I need you. Oh, God, my God, I need you now. God, how I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know through you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made the shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giant. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. I'm standing on your faithfulness. You healed your children. You are the healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You are the healer then. You are a healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh, God, my God, I need you. Oh, God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. on your faithfulness. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are the provider. You were the provider then. You are the provider now. Thank you, Master, for what you are to us, for who you are to us, for what you're doing in us right now for us. Thank you that you are working on us, making us who we ought to be. Took you just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun, earth, Jupiter, Mars. Oh, how lovely and patient you must be that you're working on us. Thank you for every one of these who tuned in tonight to hear of your word, to study your word. Thank you tonight, Master, that as we study your word, that you reveal yourself to these listeners. Thank you that you're meeting every need represented by these listeners tonight, for healings in their bodies, for their minds to be healed, for their children, for their marriages, for their minds, for their whatever it is that they need. Thank you that you are meeting the need right there, right now. And I make and I confess that over them in Jesus' name. Now I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership coming to this program. Most importantly, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. Turn with me, if you would please, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Amen. 1 Kings 17. Hallelujah. And I want you to be a part. Don't just sit there and watch. Open your Bible and study with us, please. The reason I ask you to do that is because I feel that that's how you're going to get the most out of this, is if you be a part and study with us and not just sit there and listen to me. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, Tishbe, in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain the next few years, except for at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him to do. He went to the Kirith ravine, east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow in there gathering sticks. A widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he asked, would you bring me a little water? Just a jar so that I may have a drink. As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me to eat. And have you bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, but the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. The jar of flour was not used up. The jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew white. He grew worse and worse. Excuse me, he grew worse and worse. And finally, he stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, you brought tragedy also on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die. Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother, and he said, look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God, but the word of the Lord, the truth. So, you see here, so what we have here is provision from God. we start out with where Elijah had been. No water. No water. He even said there would be no rain or dew in that area for a few years. So God told him to go to that valley. He said, go to the valley. He said, I've already commanded ravens to feed you. And you will drink of the brook. The brook dried up. There was no more water because there had been no rain. And the ravens had been feeding him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. He didn't do what some of us might be doing, you know, here in the United States, for example, or other developed countries. There might be like, or some of us could be like, we've had chicken the last few days. Hey, ravens, can you bring us some beef today? Can you bring us some steak today? Can you bring us some meatloaf today? Can you bring us some pork chops? Or some pulled pork with barbecue sauce already on it? Nope. It was bread and meat in the morning. Bread and meat in the evening. And so the ravens did that. Then God told him to go to a certain town. He goes to that town. There's a widow there, bringing out sticks. She's getting sticks. And she says, I am going to, you know, I only have so much, enough food for me and my son. Because he was asking for food. He wasn't asking for food to be selfish. But, yeah, he was hungry. He was asking for food. And so she said, I only have enough for me and my son. I'm going to take this stuff home. And she says, we're going to eat it and we're going to die. Going to eat it and die. And he says, well, when you go home, why not make me a cake first? He was being a man of God. Is what he was doing. He wasn't being selfish. And she goes home, makes the cake, you know, makes the food. Then she goes to get Elijah. He comes. He eats. Her and her son eat. You know what? The meal never ran out. The bread never ran out. The jar of oil never went out. Never went down. It never did. Every day there was oil, new oil. And so, yeah, every day there was oil, every day. When it should have been starting to run lower because of use. It wasn't. God was providing. He was doing a miracle. Because Elijah, because the woman obeyed the word of the Lord and had Elijah in, provided for Elijah. Then the woman's son gets very ill. He quits breathing. And he wants to pray over her son. She lets him do it. She goes in there. He goes in there and prays, and, you know. But at one point he says, you know, that God caused the tragedy, caused him to die. But the true doctrine, the right doctrine, is God does not make us sick. It is not God who makes us sick. No matter if we're a little sick or we're in a condition like we stop breathing and we have to have CPR administered to us in order to survive. But it's not God who makes us sick. So it's kind of like that thing with Job, where he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he says, you give and you take away. He says, you give and you take away. You give and you take away. But you know, that was a doctrine of his that was, but it's true that he wrote that, but obviously it's not God that makes us sick. God's the healer. He makes us well. He makes us whole. He made us well, not sick. And so what I'm getting at is Elijah was obedient. He listened to what God said. God told him to go to a certain place where there was provision made for him through the ravens and through the brook that he was drinking from the brook. But of course the brook dries up because there's no rain. And obviously God cared about him. He didn't want him to suffer and to not have no food. And so he trusted in God. He didn't go, oh God, are you there or not? He could have said, oh God, I'm hungry. What you gonna do? What am I gonna do for food tomorrow, God? There was none of that. Because God had it worked out. He's Jehovah Jireh, who is our provider. I'm glad to know that he is my provider and that he's not just a sugar daddy. Because in my mind, it's not supposed to be a sugar daddy thing. I serve a real God who is willing and able to deliver us, to heal us, to set us free. And that woman obeyed God by taking him in. And feeding him. She could have said, oh, he's just selfish. He's just wanting food. He's wanting to freeload. I'm like, after all, there's like next to no food here. We're going to eat and die. But God does a creative miracle. And it just kept lasting and lasting and lasting and lasting. And he ended up helping her. God ended up using Elijah to do great things. And so it was just a cool story. And it shows, yeah. There's times where provision comes with obedience, meaning that you have to obey in order to believe what you're asking him for. And then her son, who had fallen sick, was then healed after he laid on him. And prayed over him. He was healed of that infirmity. His mother takes him back and then she says, I'm totally convinced now that you are a man of God. By that point, there was not an ounce of doubt left in her. Because she goes from at first, she's like, well, I'll go get you some food. I'll go make you some food. She's like, but then we are going to eat it and we are going to die. She goes from that to eating the food and not running out of the food because the bread and the jar keeps being refilled. Keeps being refilled. And then her son becomes ill. And then her son gets healed by God. And then she says, now I'm totally convinced that you are a man of God. Turned out that she was right to help Elijah. And she ended up being rewarded for it. And great things happen when you obey God. Like what she did. Because that family didn't run out of food. So whatever you're going through, God already has provision figured out for you. Like, there were times when I was little that my mom would believe God when I would have an appointment in Ann Arbor or something like that. That my mom would believe God for gas money. Multiple times at a certain gas station, there was someone there to give my mom money for gas for a doctor's appointment that we had. And it's just an example of God coming through, God providing. It's one of the benefits of Jairus, who is the provider. That's what he is. And he doesn't just do it to be a sugar daddy by any means. But he loves his children. He loves his children. He cares about them. And those of us who are saved and born again, we are children of God. Children of God. You don't become the adults of God. You don't become the grandma and grandpa of God. Nope. We're all children of God. Children of God. Even if you're 99 and tuned into this program, or 108, or even if you're the oldest person who still lives on the earth today, you still believe in God, listening to this program, you're a child of God. And I'm just so grateful that he loves us. I am. And that woman who helped Elijah, she was blessed because what she did for him and helped him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that you would help us get that word, this word, in our hearts. And that no matter what we're going through, that we can always trust in you. And that you just help us, Master, as we go through life. Thank you for what you did for Elijah there. With the brook and with the ravens. Thank you that you're still the God who does those things now. And I thank you, Master, for that. In your matchless name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. If you didn't go vote yet, please, by all means, go vote. Please. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everyone, and I will talk to y'all next time.